Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. It is the 8th of April. Brewers with the off day yesterday, Bucks with the off day, and a few games to go before we find out where they're going to be seated. God, hopefully not against the Pacers. It may look that way. And I come to you before a crazy week, really. Masters week this week, UFL week 3, so should be a good time. And in just a couple of weeks, the NFL draft, which, unless society collapses, I will be there. I will be there at the NFL draft, pending the complete downfall of life as we know it. I want to talk about the Brewers and their trades. They're really making a big bet on a guy. And they gave a lot for him. So that should be interesting how that works out. Also, the son of a former Brewer is in the fold at the AAA level. We'll see if we see him at the big leagues at some point. And then following up on my baseball bonanza, and I put a video out of this earlier this week, and I'll have it as the end of this audio podcast on a mainly audio one today. Cubs fans reacting to my video shitting on Council has been amazing. It's been amazing. It's just, it really is when I alienate Cubs fans, which has happened a few times. It's a very, you know, I've alienated Celtics fans. I've alienated Vikings fans. I've alienated, a host of different fans, Heat fans. Cubs fans are uniquely like there's no middle, I think. A Cubs fan is either a low, like, I don't want to say IQ, unable to really give a good burn. Just cookie cutter, cut and paste kind of burns where they all collectively like have the same mind. But then there's also a few that think very highly of themselves, like me, only intensified. People were making fun of the seats I bought. I bought seats in the 300 level behind home plate. All of a sudden, I'm a poor? I mean, tickets were $85. That's a lot for, I still feel like a lot, that's a lot for a ticket. I still have 90s pricing in my brain. And I think that, you know, on the whole, I tend to think the state of Wisconsin is a little more frugal than maybe other states. And by frugal, do I not just mean smart with our money? I still think a fast food meal should be $5. I still think a 12-pack of soda should be $5. Basically, I think everything should be $5. When I tried to park at Wrigley, I parked a mile and a half away because I found a place for $5. $5. That's the ticket for me. The Brewer conversation coming up, I do want to pay my respects, and I think we all should pay our respects to the Houston Cougars. Now, there was a time, remember when the Vikings were in the playoffs and they had to play at the University of Minnesota and they missed a field goal? I think it was Blair Walsh. And it was such an excruciating game for them that I said, you know what, in a way, I think I almost feel bad for them. And people tell me, you can't feel bad for the Vikings. And, you know, they're probably right. But for the Houston Cougars, who we have little attachment with, and in fact, we've got a Bucks assistant coach as their head coach in Kelvin Sampson. The way they lost the national championship game, 65-63 to Florida, was very Wisconsin sports-like. I mean, that felt like I was watching one of my teams without actually watching one of my teams. Where you have a lead, things are going your way, there's a specific moment in the game, and it could have been different for different fans and coach and the players, but it's not that you've assumed victory, but you're visualizing what it's going to be like. And we've done that plenty of times in games that we've ended up losing. You're visualizing the win. And then it all gets ripped away from you. I mean, this Houston team was up 12 with 16 to go. It's college basketball. That's doable. You can make that up. Badgers almost did on BYU. But that was a game, especially with how they got there. So they had just had one of the all-time great comebacks against one of the all-time great collapses in Duke. And in that game, in the final minute 16, Houston went on an 11-1 run in the final minute and 16 of play. That's remarkable. Down six with 36 seconds to go. We all saw it Saturday night. Houston, in this game, their last shot attempt was at a minute 25. So the other night, they used 80 seconds to score 11 points. And then on Monday, they get a minute and a half, and they don't even put up a shot. A couple of possessions ended up in steals, some balls out of bounds. And then that last possession, which, I mean, the most college basketball ending of all time, tried to put up a shot, was on the ground, wasn't sure if he could get it or not, tried to box out the ball, inadvertently maybe got in his teammate's way, and Florida wins the national championship. Florida very, very, very cardiac throughout this thing by beating Texas Tech, by beating Auburn, by beating the Houston. And even going back to UConn, thank God they beat UConn in that game against Dan Hurley. They were down a few with 4 minutes to go. But I feel bad for Houston. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say something about the Houston Cougars just because that was a very Wisconsin-y loss. That's one of those losses that you never get over. Have we gotten over? I mean, when I think of Wisconsin losses, 2014 NFC Championship game, Chuck and I would always joke that it came up on our show at least once a day. And there's been other things that have been bad since. You know, the Buccaneers won in 2020 probably would be the one if 2014 did not happen. But 2014 did happen. And so I think about these Houston Cougar fans, and when are they going to finally feel over it? And, you know, if you were like tangentially a Houston Cougar fan, like you live in Houston, you root for them, but they're not the end-all be-all, you're bummed. But if the Houston Cougars men's basketball team is the number one thing in your life, it's going to take a long time. I think with the 2014 game, it took a long time. I don't want to say I'm over it, but I think what happens is your brain and your body tricks you into feeling like you're over it. You know, the players are different. Coaching staff is different. The league is different. It was a decade ago plus. I think, though, what happens is if I get an image of it, if the NFL Network, which plays it like once a month for some reason, if they do that, you look at it and you think, it all comes back. It all comes back and you feel just beside yourself. So I think, like, I'm over it in the terms of I don't think about it every day, you know? I don't think about, oh, finally a day where I didn't think about my ex-girlfriend once. Finally a day where I didn't think about the 2014 NFC Championship game once. But when you see it, when you see an image, a picture, when you see another team collapse in a heartbreaking way, I would think that I'm well adjusted to it. But are you ever truly over great pain like that? And then what's crazy about that was when the Badgers had their run. That was when the Badgers had their run. And the Badgers men's basketball team is not my number one team or two or three or four. But we got into that. And we got into it because it was Wisconsin. It was March Madness. But also it was filling a hole of being distraught about what happened in Seattle. And then they lose that game. Last time Dukes won, by the way. They lose that game, and there's, you know, it wasn't a collapse. They certainly had a moment where I thought, oh my God, we're going to win. Obviously, Justice Winslow's fingertips need to be brought up. In some ways, I'm not terribly upset that they didn't get that one done. This isn't a critique of him personally, but it does seem like every tweet Sam Decker has is like the worst version of a take that you could have on a topic. This is not an anti-Sam Decker thought. This is, he just has the propensity and the ability to take a trending topic and tweet about it in the worst way. Similar how J.J. Watt does it in the most corny way. Decker does it in the most, like, oblivious, naive, trying to troll but not quite getting up the jumper kind of way. It's really a shame. We're brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. The promo code is BART, 25% off. Yes, promo codes, more important than ever. 25% off, and that's every time you order at happyplacehemp.com. The Delta 8s and the Delta 9s, you know, coming home from work late night, there's something that feels wrong about, hey, it's 2 a.m., I'm going to start glugging alcohol. But after work, to take a gummy, to relax, to unwind, to watch some shows. You know, there's a couple that I got to get into. But to mellow out that way. And, you know, you have long days. Even on the weekends. The seltzers have been really good. I really enjoy those. And that business seems to be booming. And they got different flavors and different levels of the milligrams. So check it out. Just go online. Just go online. Check it out. HappyPlaceHemp.com. The promo code is BART. 25% off each and every order. The promo code is BART. So the Milwaukee Brewers, 5-5. When did I last talk to these boys? Last Tuesday, they were 0-4. And I said, yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs, and I'm going to go under 81 wins. Well, they're 5-1 since. So let's just pretend like anything that I say, even right now, anything that I say about the Brewers in terms of a prediction, the Memorial Day is a good barometer. That's where we should be. Because after an 0-4 start, the world's ending, and then they win 4 in a row, and you're like, oh, look at that. Split a couple of games over the weekend, day off Monday, and now they take on the Rockies. Freddie Peralta will get the start, and then God knows who these next couple of days. Now, God knows who could be Quinn Priester. As the Brewers made a trade for Priester, he's 24 years old. He was taken by the Pirates, pitcher, in the first round of the 2019 draft. So he's been with the Pirates organization. He was a top prospect at one point, number 60 in all of baseball back in 2023, and then traded to Boston last summer, okay? So this is a guy, he's been in two organizations now, and the Brewers, they say they've liked him for a long time. But the Brewers have some injuries at the pitcher spot, and also they like this guy. And he has made one outing at AAA Worcester so far. It was a loss, a couple of earned runs, four innings pitched, no big deal. Could he be getting a start this week for the Brewers? Because they brought him in to be on the big league roster. He's at AAA with the Red Sox. No, they brought him in to pitch. The injuries would indicate that they need him, even though they're getting some of these guys back soon. Woodruff should be back relatively soon. You know, they're getting some of these guys back in the near future. But, you know, Savale, I think, is another one. But they traded a lot for Priester. They traded Yoferi Rodriguez, a 2025 competitive balance round A selection, which I'll tell you about, and a player to be named. So this is three players, essentially. So what is the competitive balance round A? Because you may have seen a lot of reaction. Oh, if it was, you know, just the player and a player to be named later, that's one thing. But this round A pick. The competitive balance round A takes place between the first round compensation picks and the second round, while round B is held after the second round is over. The order of the picks within each round is determined by the order of finish in the previous year's standings. Best down to worst. Essentially, this was a first round pick, is what it ended up being. It would have been pick number 33 overall. So there's 30 teams, 30 picks. There's a couple of comp picks. The Brewers got one. They got number 32 for the departed Willie Adames in free agency. And then pick number 33 was pick one of round A of the competitive imbalance. They had pick number 32 and then pick number 33 overall in the draft, and they traded pick number 33, which, again, is essentially a first-round value. And they traded it. So that's a lot of value for this guy. They're putting a lot in to Quinn Priester. Sometimes you make these trades and it's like, let's see if he works out for me. Let's see if he works out for you. This is like throwing a considerable amount of money on a 20-1 odd, maybe 15-1. This is you're banking on this is gonna work, and you've put a lot of capital in for it to work. Matt Arnold was talking, Brewers GM. The injuries weren't the only factor in this acquisition, because a lot of guys are hurt. Nestor Cortez is hurt, and you only traded your closer for him. Robert Gasser's hurt. You only traded your previous closer for him. DL Hall is hurt. You only traded your ace for him. Tobias Myers, Savale, Ashby, Woodruff all hurt. But Arnold says, yeah, injuries, but also we really think this move helps us now and in the future. We've liked Priester going back to high school. He's had this kind of experience at a young age. How many guys have we seen come up to the major leagues and hit a roadblock over the years with us? Whether that's Woody or Corbin or Freddie, they all hit bumps along the way, and they were all extremely talented. The Brewers think they have another guy like that, a guy who's had an ascension, hit some roadblocks, and now they think that they can do right by him. So they are trading Rodriguez. And by the way, Rodriguez, he was in the Brewers 2023 international class. He was in high A, Midwest, Timber Rattlers, 5-for-12, a double and a triple, three games. He was their top signing bonus in that class, $1.5 million. He's 19 years old. So, you know, this could be a guy that could be something down the road. I don't know if we're going to look back and say, oh, they traded away A.J. Johnson to the Wizards for nothing, like what John Horst did. Which John Horst, dude, John, what are you doing? Anyway. The Brewers still have a lot of picks. They've got number 20 in the first round. They have that comp pick at 32. They've got 59. They've got a comp pick in the second round for an unsigned pick last year, and they've got a third round pick. So they have five picks in the top 94, but they had six, and they traded one. So essentially, they think this guy is first round pick value, and they don't have to wait for him to develop because he's ready. He's here. He's going to probably be pitching this week. As with all trades, it remains to be seen who's going to win, who's going to lose. But the Brewers did bet a lot on this to be successful. At what level of success does he need to have for it to be a W in the Brewers' win column? Well, I think he needs to at least be a contributor this year in the rotation. Like, when guys are healthy and the Brewers have five of their best guys to throw, I think Priester's got to be up there now. Even if he's the five, maybe an extended six. But you trade a lot for him. And you think that in the next couple of years, he's got a lot of team control. But you trade a lot for him. You need him now. I would like to see some production out of him now. You've got a lot of guys that, you know, we've traded for recently. Like I said, DL Hall and Robert Gasser. And you know, we feel like at some point, these guys are going to be the best versions of themselves. Somebody's got to crack through, I would think. Brewers also traded for Daz Cameron. Untuck him. Mike Cameron's kid. Daz Cameron is 28. He's played a little bit with Detroit and Oakland. The Brewers got him from Baltimore. They gave up Grant Wolfram. They had DFA'd him Monday morning, and then we're able to swing a trade. Daz Cameron is going to fill out some depth, as they traded Brewer Hicklin to Detroit after DFAing him last week. So he's not on the 40-man Cameron. He's going to go to AAA, And we'll see if we see him at some point. But another trade that they had made in the day. So busy day for the Brewers on their off day. And now they've got a series coming up against the Rockies. And then they will be in Arizona. So a West Coast trip with the games not being too late. Because, well, I guess technically it's not a West Coast trip. But then they're back against Detroit. And then the A's. So the Brewers don't go to Sacramento this year. But the A's will come here. They'll round out the month in San Francisco then, West Coast, in St. Louis, and in Chicago to take on the White Sox. I was just in Chicago to see the Padres take on the Cubs. I posted a 15-second video calling Craig Counsell a loser. Cubs fans very upset. I'll read some of those comments to round out this episode on a midweek edition of Into the Winklerverse. Relevant to this video, my name is Bart Winkler, and I host a show called The Bart Winkler Show. I have a Facebook page, which I've used over the years for different show-related topics, shitposting, and memes. This video that I took on Friday, April the 4th, Cubs home opener against the Padres, is up to 250,000 views. It is a very simple video. I actually thought it was too stupid to post, but I posted it over the weekend, and Cubs fans are very upset. I found the biggest loser ever at Wrigley. Huge loser. Loser!
That's not a boss,
Council sucks! Yeah, okay, so that's it. That's the video. And it's one of the reels, whatever it populated. Now, Cubs fans, this is typically something that has happened to me in the past, is that Cubs fans will then get it in their algorithm. So what happens is that Cubs fans, this was posted, you know, the 3,000 people that like my page, they see it, but then it gets in the algorithm and Cubs fans see it. Now, I don't mind when that happens because the algorithm pays money. And I think I've made about $15 on that. But, you know, everything going on, I will take $15 wherever I can get it. I am astonished at the comments. And I wanted to break down some of them. Because if you take the time to comment on something like this, you're clearly upset by the video that you saw. You're upset at its existence and why it happened. I did not realize that so many people were in such defense of Craig Counsell. Chicago simping for this man. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that the seats I sat in the 300 level, which were not the highest level at Wrigley, were where the pores sit. And I didn't realize that people in Chicago had that much money that they could scoff down on people for sitting in the 300s. And I also did not realize that people are just stupid. If you're going to make a comment, get me, attack me. I gave you 15 seconds. Attack me, attack my face. Google me real quick and make fun of me for something. But there's so many people, like the main comment was, turns out the loser is you. Okay. I mean, I guess that's good enough. I don't think that's, you know, that's like the bare minimum of what you can do. But so many other people do it. Wouldn't you at some point be like, oh, wow, a lot of people said this exact same thing. So I wanted to show you some of the comments and what I'm dealing with here. Calling a millionaire a loser. Yeah, I'm sure his feelings were hurt. I don't see you on that field. But they all know his name and people pay money to see him. I'm sorry, you are. That's a big thing I got. Like, who is this guy? Who cares? Who is this guy? For the context of the video, I'm a guy at the Cubs game calling Craig Counsell a loser, which as a Brewers fan, maybe I bury the lead there. As a Brewers fan, he was our manager for 8 years and then he left us to go to the Cubs. Of course I'm going to call him a loser. I feel like he secretly regrets it. He won't admit it, but I feel like he does. Looks like the loser is the dork making the video. That's from Susie. Michael says, dude, you bought a ticket to sit in the stands. he's paid to be on the field. Who's a loser now? So basically, Michael thinks that anyone who goes to a baseball game is a loser, is what I gather from that. Not just me, all 40,000 that day. Brian says, meanwhile, you have to go to your shitty job you never dreamed of as a kid in the morning. You gingers are devils in disguise, hateful shitbags. Craig won a couple World Series as a player. Tell us how proud you are of your employee of the month you got in 2016, bro. You are a dick. First of all, I'm not a ginger. My beard is red, but my hair, what's left of it, is brown. So there's another fun thing you could make fun of. Biggest loser, guy who is in the nosebleed, who can't afford better seats. Why are we money shaming? We're going to be in a recession. Who's going to baseball games in September? You're the biggest loser. Are you sitting during the anthem with your cap on? Play the video again. You do not hear the anthem because it was played after, in which I stood and did not do a video where I called a guy a loser. Tony says it takes an actual loser to ignorantly post something like that. James says no real West Ham fan ever yelled so timidly. Take the hat off, loser. A lot of people making fun of my West Ham hat.
I found the biggest loser ever at Wrigley.
And what I did was I'm wearing a jacket. I'm wearing a West Ham hat. I didn't wear anything Brewers. Why am I going to... I'm paying respect. The Brewers didn't play. It was Cubs Padres. What, am I going to show up and wear Brewers shit? Why would I do that? That's dumb. They're not playing. Robert says, this is the guy of a fan or whatever. Is this guy a fan of a team whose stadium was the longest time called Wrigley North? Just because you call it something doesn't make it true. And also, if it was for the longest time, how come you guys don't call it that anymore? Dudes in the nosebleeds talking about others sucking, LOL. Where do these Cubs people sit? Where do you guys sit at Cubs games? The elitism from Cubs fans is shocking to me. Just shocking. We don't need people like you in our ballparks, from Eva. Jeez. Don't be such a hostile fan, says Penny. You are adding to the bullying that is so awful. And kids are hearing you. Your parents raised a jerk. A little better, a little more pointed. I told her that I was kind of quiet. This is not bullying. There were no kids around me. Only way any kids see is if you show them. My parents raised a jerk. Don't talk about my brother that way. Don't talk about my brother that way. Josh says, you're such an asshole, Bart. You're a national disgrace to the team. Leave Craig alone. Carrie says, who's the biggest loser? Your mother? Mark says, and yet he still makes more money than you. I hope so. I'm on the radio at 11:30 at night. He is a manager of a Major League Baseball team. Ty had a few comments. Ty got really mad. He said, okay, moron. And then he said, and you're married to your cousin. I said, I bet she's better looking than your wife. Bob says, I'm not sure why adults post stuff like this. I don't know why adults comment on them. Ron says, coming from a loser, I guess you would know what they look like. I said, that's how I knew. That is how I knew. Bill, and who are you? Clown face emoji five times. What's the matter who I am? No point of this matters who I am. You paid money to see that loser. What does that make you? I told him I won tickets from a radio station. Sorry, here's one from Jeff. Sorry, I couldn't understand you. Take your tampon out and say that again. Look, I know that we're overall dumber as a race than we used to be, a human race than we used to be, but we don't have to be that dumb. We don't have to be this dumb. Devin says the guy who drinks piss water and calls it beer. So you see this, and the first thing you want to do is trade beer barbs at each other? I said, these insults are so weak, man. He said, what's weak is you started this page 12 years ago and only have 3,000 followers. I go, that's more like it. Dude's a crap-ass West Ham supporter who's scared to wear his own team's gear at Wrigley. Yeah, a lot of people making fun of me for West Ham, but the thing about that is I'm not going to get all unhinged in the comments if someone speaks poorly about a team I like. David, I got a few from David. What a jerk. What did he ever do to society? Ironic you're taking a picture of yourself when you said you found the biggest loser. It turns out to be you. I sure hope you're not a father. I feel sorry for your kids. I said, this is unhinged behavior. He says, that's not a complete thought. I mean, really, you realize how dumb people are. If you, any time that I have ever posted anything that somehow gets picked up in the Chicago algorithm, and sometimes things get posted and get picked up in other teams' algorithms. And, you know, there's a lot of barbs, but I swear there's a collection of insult that I get uniquely from Cubs fans rather than other fans. I'm just so stunned with what kind of people I'm dealing with. Go fuck yourself in your nosebleed seats. Someone else asked me to say hi to the guy piloting the blimp. Need some money for good seats. What is wrong with these seats? They are good.
Huge loser.
Look, how are these nosebleeds? You can see the field, the whole field. It's actually a little like closer than it would be, I think, at AmFam in terms of it doesn't feel as far away, the incline. And also there's a whole section above me. Michael, nobody knows who you are. It doesn't matter who I am. That's not a problem. So these are the kind of comments I get. Again, I'm not like mad that people are insulting me. I'm mad that people think they're insulting me and really only one or two people on there actually insulted me. Telling me to take out my tampon does not insult me. It makes me think that you're stupid. Okay. The nosebleed thing, I'm astonished. I am astonished about the kind of criticism I got for those seats. like 80 bucks. That's not cheap. I bought two of them. It turns out the biggest loser is you. You know, it makes you feel good. You get the comment out. I also got some people that couldn't just handle commenting. They had to send me a personal message to really make themselves feel better. So I just wanted to show some of those and thank Cubs fans because I'm making money off of this. I'm making money. The more you engage, look, I hate to be that guy, but haven't I always been that guy reluctantly? Well, now it's maybe time that I try to profit off of it. So thank you to the meta check that I'll be getting next month. And thank you for your engagement and your supporting of the Bart Winkler Show. Wait till these guys find out that I'm on 670 The Score in Chicago 3 hours a night. Wait till they find that out. The stupid cheesehead talks every night about the Brewers. Oh, Brewers never won a World Series. You think that hurts me? Come on. So if you're going to comment, can we just, the minimum bar you have to clear is no female toiletry related humor, please. All right, episode cut, posted, ready to air, and then the Nuggets fired Michael Malone? What? The Nuggets just fired Michael Malone. What is going on in the West? Dallas gave up Luka for nothing. The Grizzlies fired Taylor Jenkins. And if you look into that one, you're like, oh, okay, they had another guy they liked. Yeah, I don't know. They may have lost the locker room. But then they went on a big losing streak. And now there's 5 days left. The playoffs start in a week. This is very, you know, I don't know as much about the NHL. But one thing I always see, like, when do you see NHL news alerts? It's always when coaches get fired. And coaches always get fired at the weirdest time. It's like the St. Louis Blues have started 0-3. Their coach has been fired. Or the Red Wings just went on a 6-game win streak. They have fired their coach. Or we're in the middle of the second round. Coach got fired. It's just, it's like, that's when you always see it. The NBA now, what is happening? Michael Malone fired from the Nuggets. That West is quite a log jam. And these teams are looking at their playoffs and thinking, we can't win with the coach that we have, so we have to do something. The Grizzlies don't think that they can win with Taylor Jenkins, so they have to do something. They're doing it now. They're doing it preemptively. David Adelman is going to be the interim coach. There were rumblings in September that the front office and Malone weren't seeing eye to eye. Denver's lost 4 consecutive games. He's the winningest coach in Nuggets history. He, of course, helped them win a championship. If Taylor Jenkins is getting fired, pre-fired, if Michael Malone is getting pre-fired, Doc Rivers and John Horst, they better have a to-go bag ready. Man, this is interesting. Interesting stuff. We'll have more on that. I'm sure I'll talk more about it on the Infinity Sports Network on the Tuesday evening show. Michael Malone fired. Wow. All right. You guys have a good one. And thanks for stopping into the Winklerverse.